الله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Verily the praise belongs to Allah, we praise Him, seek His assistance and forgiveness, and we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and the evil consequences of our deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is no one that can lead him astray, and whoever Allah leads astray, there is no one that can guide him. I bear witness that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone, and that he has no partners or associates. And I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his slave servant and his messenger. This evening, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, in this lecture number 46 from the sharh or explanation of Kitab al-Tawheed al-Ladhi huwa haqqullah ala al-abid ma al-imam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab ibn Sulaiman At-Tamimi al-Najdi rahimahullah, we have reached the chapter entitled Bab Ma Ja'a Fi Al-Law, yani what has been reported concerning the saying that someone says concerning something that has happened, a calamity or disaster or something that has befallen them. They said Law, if I had done so-and-so, or if I had not done such-and-such. This chapter, Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab rahimahullah has mentioned, as it was explained by Sheikh Abdul Aziz ibn Abdullah ibn Baz rahimahullah in his ta'liqat, or his brief comments concerning Kitab al-Tawheed, he said that what has been reported concerning Law, he means by that what is the hukum, or what is the ruling, the legal ruling concerning the use of this word. Is it lawful, yajuz, or it is not lawful? Then he said, what is intended by this is that one should know that it is not proper to use this word as an expression of resistance or opposition or rejection of what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decreed. It is not proper to use this word as an expression of one's rejection of what has happened, the calamity that has befallen, when we know that it is what Allah has decreed. But instead it is obligatory. يَجِبُ التَّسْلِيمُ وَالصَّبْرُ وَعَدَمُ الْمُعَارَضَةِ لِلْقَدْرِ بكلمة لو عند موت قريب أو مرض أو مصيبة. يعني what is expected from the believer is that one should submit oneself. Submission and acceptance and الصبر, patience, and that one should not oppose or resist the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by using this word if such and such, if so and so, if I had or if I had not, at the time when a near relative dies, or when someone is sick, or when a calamity has befallen someone. And then he says in his comments concerning the ayats of this chapter that the use of this expression in this way, it is from the characteristics or the affair of the munafiqeen, the hypocrites. That is the way that they saw it. And the reason why it is from the affair of the munafiqeen is because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what He has decreed, it is yani a matter of the past, and what He executes, it has to be done. Therefore the believer should take the necessary means to achieve their objectives. However, once the qada of Allah, yani the execution of Allah's qadr, once it is executed, then it is not for the believer to oppose it, to resist it, or to reject it. He also made a number of other comments. However, for the consideration of time. The last thing he said, which is very important, and perhaps similar comments have been made by other scholars if time allows, he said, that is the general ruling, that using the expression lao, when one rejected or resist or oppose that which Allah has decreed, they are not pleased with it. He said, it is not allowed. As for the use of this word, لِبَيَانْ مَا يَنْبَغِي, yani if somebody wanted to clarify a matter that is better, or that is expected, or required, what should have been done, or what should be done, لِبَيَانْ مَا يَنْبَغِي, what is expected, like the saying of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, لَوْ إِسْتَقْبَلْتُ مِنْ أَمْرِي مَا إِسْتَدْبَرْتُ, yani in reference to Hajj, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said that in the future, if I was faced with this same matter, yani that which has already passed by, then I would not have brought the hadi, the sacrificial animal, with me. Meaning, I would have come without the animal, and therefore I would have performed Umrah, and got out of Ihram, and then entered Ihram again, as he ordered his companions who didn't have a sacrifice. He said, if in the future I was faced with this as what I was faced with, then I would have done such and such and so and so. If. In this case, it was, if was used for the purpose of bayan, mayambaghi. What should have been done? What is afdal? What is better? Yani it is better. If I was faced with it in the future, then this is what I would do, because this is preferable. He also said that to use it in this way, it is not a resistance or an opposition. It is not in resistance or an opposition, but it is for clarification of that which is afdal, what is preferable or better. And similarly, the saying of someone who says, if I had known that such and such would have happened, I would have done such and such and so, to clarify to the people what is better. Yani, a person, after they see what has happened, not because they are rejecting Allah's decree, they accept it, but now they came to know what is better, and they say it as a means of clarification of what is better, that it would have been better to do this. Only for means of clarification, not in rejection of what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decreed. Likewise, the saying of the one who says, if I had known that so-and-so was sick, I would have visited him. And if I had known that he was sick, I didn't know he was sick. And now he came out of the hospital and he's well. Had I known he was sick, I would have visited him. Not that I am rejecting the divine decree, but for clarification that it was more proper that I should have visited him. If I had known, then I would have visited him. That is the best thing that should have been done. And he said, and other similar situations like this, where one expresses their regret about something that has passed them, not as an expression of rejection of Allah's decree, but only for clarification of what is better. He said, this is not under the title of what is being discussed in this chapter, but what is rejected or what is prohibited from the use of lao, it is using it as an expression of resistance or opposition or rejection any of Allah's decree. Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab rahimahullah, in this chapter, Bab ma ja'a fi al-law, what has been narrated concerning the use of the expression or the word law, if, he mentions three evidences, two ayats from the Quran and a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the first ayah that he mentions is from Surah Al-Ali Imran, chapter 3, verse 154. And the shahid, or the point in reference here, the point that is of importance in this ayat, is what Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab has mentioned. In the text of his book, he said, the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which he narrates from those hypocrites who are amongst the Muslims at the time of the Battle of Uhud, and what they said concerning the believers who went forth, who went out of Medina to fight against the pagan disbelievers instead of remaining behind, as they wanted to do, the hypocrites. They said concerning, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says concerning them, يَقُولُونَ لَوْ كَانَ لَنَا مِنَ الْأَمْرِ شَيْءٌ مَا قُلْتِلْنَا هَا هُنَا. يَقُولُونَ, they say, لَوْ كَانَ لَنَا مِنَ الْأَمْرِ شَيْءٌ, if we had any authority in the matter. لَوْ كَانَ لَنَا مِنَ الْعَمْرِ شَيْءٌ, if we had any authority in the matter, ما قلتلنا ها هنا. We would not have been killed here. Yani we would not have gone forth. We would have not gone out of Medina and we would not have been killed. Yani those who were killed would not have been killed if they had listened to us. If we had the authority to decide, we would have stayed here and we would not have been killed. Yani as though their action or their decision would have prevented what Allah had already decreed. Yani there is no escape from it. Allah has already decreed it. Whatever, it would not be changed. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, although the Shaykh in the Shaykh Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab doesn't mention it in the book, but after that, yani the ayah goes on to say that which is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala refused them. He said, قُلْ لَوْ كُنْتُمْ فِي بُيُوتِكُمْ لَبَرَزَ الَّذِينَ قُتِبَ عَلَيْهِمْ الْقَتْلِ إِلَى مَضَاجِعِهِمْ. Yani that if you would have remained behind in your homes, even if you had stayed behind in Medina and not gone out of the city, as you suggested, then those whom death had been written for or had been decreed for in Allah's decree, they would have gone forth to their death anyway. Yani as Allah decreed it, it would have happened even if they would have attempted to remain behind. Shaykh Muhammad bin Abdul Aziz Al-Qara'awi, Hafidhahu Allah, in his book Al-Jadid, the explanation of Kitab Al-Tawheed, he says in the general explanation of this ayat that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds the believers of his favor upon them, his ni'mah upon them, yani in this incident of the Battle of Uhud, when he sent down upon them nu'as, yani slumber, after they had been in anxiety and stress and worry because of what happened in that battle. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent upon them nu'as, and that was to relieve their thoughts and their minds and to rejuvenate their activity or their action, to rejuvenate them. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informed that there was a group amongst them. Amongst the believers, there were another group of people, and they did not share with them the iman, the belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They were munafiqeen. But in fact, they were more concerned about their lives. And for this reason, they questioned the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam about their victory, questioning him in a way that was an expression of their denial, that they didn't believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would give them a victory, and that it was something far-fetched that they could defeat the pagan disbelievers. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made clear the matter, that the matter is not in the hands, it is not with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it is not with his Prophet, but it is with him alone, that he gives success and victory to whomever he wills. And it is not for the Prophet ﷺ to say we will definitely be victorious or not. The matter is not with him, it's with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If Allah wills, he will give the victory to whomever he wills. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala unveiled or uncovered their nifaq, their hypocrisy, informing them that they would not have faith or trust in the promise of Allah and the promise of the Messenger of Allah ﷺ, that they would have success. And they used as a proof the fact that they were killed, or those who were killed in the Ghazwatul Uhud. Yani that was their proof that they would not be victorious, that their victory of the disbelievers was something far-fetched. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala confirmed that everything that had happened, it was by the qada of Allah and His qadr. It was by the qada of Allah and His qadr. What had happened? Yani the disobedience of those who disobeyed the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and therefore caused many of the Muslims to be killed in that occasion. All of this, it was all by Allah's divine decree, and He is the one who executed His decree. And that all of this, it was an examination, an imtihan, to test their sincerity, their ikhlas, and to bring forth or to show their reality, the reality of their inner beings. And the Shaykh says that from the benefits of this ayat, he mentions four. The first of them is that الخير والشر مقدر من الله عز وجل. That good and evil, it is all decreed by Allah. Whatever happens of good or whatever happens of evil, it is by Allah's decree. Cannot happen except that He has decreed it. Number two, أن الشدائد تظهر الحقائق. That difficulty and hardship, it brings forth and makes clear the reality of things. Yani the hypocrites, they showed themselves. When the situation became difficult and they were confronted with the battle, then that situation brought out their reality. And they began to question the Prophet ﷺ and question whether or not it was really possible that they could be victorious. Number three, that al-i'tirad, questioning or rejection or opposition or resistance to the qadr of Allah, it is from the alamat al-nifaq al-i'tiqadi. Yani rejecting the qadr of Allah, resisting it or rejecting it or opposing it is of the signs of al-nifaq al-i'tiqadi. It is not nifaq al-amali, not hypocrisy in action, that somebody does the deeds of the hypocrite, but it is in their aqidah. It is that they are really hypocrites, kuffar, out of Islam. Al-nifaq al-i'tiqadi is a sign that the person is really a real hypocrite, and he is a kafir, out of Islam. Number four, al-asbab la tamna'u al-aqdar. That taking the means, or taking precautions in a matter, or taking the measures to achieve something, لا تمنع الأقدار. It cannot prevent what Allah has decreed. When Allah has decreed something, it will be. Yani even if you take all precautions and use all type of defense measures, if Allah has decreed something, it's going to be in any case. It doesn't mean that the Muslim shouldn't take the necessary measures. That is part of tawakkul ala Allah, that a person should do what is expected and what they have the ability to do. However, while doing that, we also have to keep in mind that when Allah has decreed a thing, it has to be. In the translation of this explanation, there's a fifth point, it's that sifat al-wajh, the confirmation of the characteristic of the faith for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but it is not here in the original, and I don't know where it came from. And it just as a note in the translation. Then he says, the relationship of this ayat to the topic under discussion is that this ayat indicates the prohibition of resisting or opposing the qadr of Allah. Al-i'tirad ala al-qadr, resisting Allah's decree, it is prohibited according to this ayat. And the relationship of this ayat to Tawheed is that this ayat indicates the obligation of al-istislam lil-qada'i wal-qadr. That a Muslim, it is obligated on the believer to submit and surrender oneself to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has executed. Yani what he has caused to happen from what he has decreed, because this is from the kamal of Tawheed. And to do so, to submit to Allah's decree, it is from the perfection of At-Tawheed. It is part of the perfection of At-Tawheed. A person's Tawheed is not perfect unless they submit to and accept the decree of Allah when it has been executed, no matter how difficult it may be to accept. The next ayat that he mentions is the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, also in Surah Ali Imran, chapter 3, verse 168. The saying of Allah concerning the disbelievers who are amongst the believers in the Battle of Uhud, الَّذِينَ قَالُوا لِإِخْوَانِهِمْ وَقَاعَدُوا لَوْ أَطَاعُونَا مَا قُتِلُوا. Those who said to their brothers, to the true believers who went out and fought in jihad, while they themselves sat down, remaining behind, that if they had obeyed us, لَوْ أَطَاعُونَا, if they had obeyed us, if they have listened to us, when we said stay behind in Medina, but they wanted to go forth, to go out and meet the enemy, if they had listened to us, مَا قُتِلُوا, they would not have been killed. And if those who were killed by the decree of Allah. If they had listened to them, they would not have been killed. قُلْ فَدْرَأُوا عَنْ أَنفُسِكُمَ الْمَوْتِ إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala refuted them by saying, then protect yourselves, or push, repulse from yourselves death, if indeed you are truthful. Nobody will be free from death, everyone must die. If you are truthful, that you can take certain measures and certain means, and you can prevent what Allah has decreed, then repulse death from yourself. Don't die. The Shaykh says the general meaning of this ayat is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this ayat informs us that what had taken place of the dispute between the believers and the hypocrites at the time when the hypocrites were afraid to go forth and they remained behind, sitting back from going forth in jihad, and they rejoiced over those believers who were killed in the Battle of Uhud, and that defeat that the Muslims suffered on that occasion. They rejoiced over it. And that defeat, it was due, its reason was the disobedience, or the failure to comply with the command of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They claimed, the disbelievers, the hypocrites, they claimed that the believers, if they had taken counsel from them and listened to them and remained behind in Medina, they would have been safe. They would have been safe and they would not have been killed. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala challenged them to save themselves from death if it befalls them, if death comes to them, if they are indeed truthful. He challenged them with this, yani their claim that al-hadr yunji min al-qadr, that if somebody takes precautions, then they will be saved from Allah's decree. Allah challenged them by saying, then save yourselves from death when it comes to you. The Shaykh mentions three benefits from this ayat. The first of them, mashru'iyati al-jihad fi sabilillah, that it is legislated in the sharia of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make jihad in the way of Allah. Number two, the danger of the munafiqeen to the Muslims. Yani the presence of the munafiqeen amongst the Muslims is indeed a great danger. Number three, that al-hadr la yunji min al-qadr, yani that taking precautions, whatever precautions one may take, it cannot save you from what Allah has decreed, if He has decreed for you, yani that which would befall you. The relationship of this ayat to the chapter under the discussion is that this ayat indicates tahrim al-i'tirad ala al-qadr, yani that it is haram, it is forbidden to reject or to resist or to oppose the qadr of Allah after it has been executed. The relationship of this ayat to the general topic of al-tawheed is that this ayat indicates the obligation of al-istislam, yani full surrender and submission to the execution when Allah executes that which He has decreed, because this is from the perfection of al-tawheed. The last evidence that Imam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab mentions is the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وفي الصحيح عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال, يعني it is reported in the Sahih, and here he means the Sahih of Imam Muslim, from Abu Huraira رضي الله عنه, that the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم said, احرص على ما ينفعك واستعين بالله. يعني here Shaykh Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab has began the hadith from the point of reference that he is using as a proof in this matter. However, the beginning of the hadith, which is also relevant, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Al-mu'min al-qawi khayrun wa ahabbu ila Allah min al-mu'min al-da'if wa fi kullin khayrun." That al-mu'min al-qawi, the strong believer, the one who is strong in his iman, that he is better and more beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than the al-mu'min al-da'if, the believer who is weak in his iman. But in each of them there is khayr. In the one who is qawi and the one is da'if, there is khayr in each of the, in all of the believers, there is khayr, because he has iman, even if his iman is weak. Then the Prophet ﷺ said, and this is the point of the hadith that Imam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab intended, احرص على ما ينفعك واستعين بالله. Seek ease eagerly, make an effort, exert yourself to achieve that which benefits you, ما ينفعك. And some of the scholars, and you have given different explanations of what is meant by what benefits you. Some of them said that which benefits you in this world, as well as that which benefits you in the hereafter. However, the most important of that which benefits you, it is obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and seeking that which He has for the believers in the next life. That is what is of real benefit. That is the ultimate benefit. It is yani obedience to Allah. Seek to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so that you may earn that which He has in store for the believers and that which He has prepared for them in Al-Jannah. احرص على ما ينفعك. Be eager and seeking and making a great effort to achieve that which benefits you. واستعن بالله. And seek help from Allah. Yani these two things the Prophet ﷺ have joined together. Going after that which is beneficial, exerting oneself, making the effort, and at the same time along with that, الاستعان بالله. Not just making a great effort, striving and struggling, but also you have to seek help from Allah. Because no matter whatever effort we make, it will never bear fruit unless we seek help from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in that which we are doing. So he said, go after that which is of benefit to you and seek help from Allah. وَلَا تَعَجِزًا وَلَا تَعَجِزًا. And do not be helpless. Do not feel that you cannot do it, that you are incapable of achieving that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants for the believers. Some of the narrations of Kitab al-Tawheed have narrated this expression, وَلَا تَعْجِزَنَّ وَالشَّدَّ on the noon, and some of them have sukoon on the noon, لَا تَعْجِزَنَّ, and this is the way the Shaykh Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen has explained it, وَلَا تَعْجِزَنَّ, and in any case, both of them mean ta'akid. وَلَا تَعْجِزَنَّ وَلَا تَعْجِزَنَّ, both of them mean ta'akid, that is emphasis of certainty. Do not feel incapable, do not be hopeless. وإن أصابك شيء فلا تقول لو أني فعلت كذا لكان كذا وكذا. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that if a person goes after that which is beneficial and seeks help from Allah and does not feel helpless or incapable of achieving, then if وَإِنْ أَصَابَكَ شَيْءٌ, and if something afflicts you or befalls you or something passes you by that you are trying to achieve and you don't achieve it, وَإِنْ أَصَابَكَ شَيْءٌ فَلَا تَقُولْ لَوْ أَنِّي فَعَلْتُ كَذَا كَانَ كَذَا وَكَذَا, that if I had done such and such, then it would have been like this and that. Don't say if you had did this or if you had not did this, done this, because indeed all of these, this expression or the use of this expression is an expression of one's rejection of what Allah has already decreed. Once it has happened, then we know it is Allah's decree and we have to accept it. Be patient with it, and better than that is to be pleased with it. Ar-rida biqadrillah, and better than that is ash-shukra, to be thankful for what has befallen us, even if it is a great calamity. فَلَا تَقُلْ, it is prohibited. لَا تَقُلْ, it is لَا نَاهِيَ, prohibited. لَا تَقُلْ لَوْ أَنِّي فَعَلْتُ كَذَا, if I had done so-and-so, then it would have been like such and such and so and so. And then the Prophet ﷺ told us what we should say. He told us what not to say and also told us what to say, what is good to say. وَلَكِنْ قُلْ, but you should say قَدَّرَ اللَّهُ وَمَا شَاءَ فَعَلَ. In some of the narrations it is reported قَدَرُ اللَّهُ, قَدَرُ اللَّهُ وَمَا شَاءَ فَعَلَ. And in any case the meaning is the same. قَدَرُ اللَّهُ, when something befalls you, you say قَدَرُ اللَّهُ, meaning هَذَا قَدَرُ اللَّهُ, this is Allah's qadr. وَقَدَّرَ اللَّهُ, it is the fail, Allah has decreed this. وَمَا شَاءَ فَعَلَ, and whatever He wills, then He has done it. Yani it is an expression of acceptance of what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decreed. فَإِنَّ لَوْ تَفْتَهُ عَمَلَ الشَّيْطَانِ, yani don't say this, لَوْ, but say قَدَّرَ اللَّهُ, accept it, Allah has decreed it. فَإِنَّ لَوْ, because the word لَوْ, yani this idea, this expression that if I had done or if I had not done, تَفْتَهُ عَمَلَ الشَّيْطَانِ, this opens the works of shaitan, it opens the way to that which is from the أَعْمَالِ الشَّيْطَانِ, that a person will regret and have remorse and feel anxiety and sadness about what has happened. When the believer should not have remorse and grief and sadness, but the believer should be patient in what Allah has decreed for them once it has befallen them, and accept it and be pleased with it if it is possible, and be thankful for what Allah has afflicted us with, because what He has afflicted us with, if we accept it and are patient with it, then indeed it will achieve a great reward in the next life, and it might remove one's sins and raise them or their status or their place in paradise. This hadith has been reported by Imam Muslim in his Sahih, and as well by Imam Ahmed in the Musnad, and Ibn Majah in his Sunan. The Shaykh says the general meaning of this hadith is that since Islam has called the people to inhabit and to flourish and to develop this world that we are living in, and to rectify and to improve the society that we are living in, the Prophet ﷺ therefore ordered every Muslim بِالْعَمَلْ الْجَادِ. The translator has translated that he has ordered us with jihad, but the Shaykh said he has ordered كُلَّ مُسْلِم بِالْعَمَلْ الْجَادِ وَالتَّحْصِيلِ. He has ordered that every Muslim should work hard, should be serious in their work, and try to achieve وَالتَّحْصِيلِ, and try to achieve. That is the meaning of the saying of the Prophet ﷺ احرس على ما ينفعك واستعن بالله. It means be serious and work hard and go after it and try to achieve. مستعينا على تحقيق ذلك بالله عز وجل. Going after it, working hard. مستعينا على تحقيق ذلك. Seeking help to achieve that. Seeking help from Allah سبحانه وتعالى. متجنبا للعجز ومواطنه. And avoiding and staying far away from العجز. يعني the feeling of incapacity, that one is incapable or unable to do something, and that يعني and the things that يعني lead to that. وأن لا تفتح على نفسه باب اللوم والندم, and that a person should not open the way to blaming themselves for what they have done, or remorse or regret, if that which they were seeking has passed them by. يعني when you say لو, if I had did this, it opens the way for you to feel remorse in yourself that something has passed you by. If I had not gone there, then you feel more remorse because you feel like, if I had not gone there, this wouldn't have happened. Look what situation I'm in. Instead of saying, قَدْرَ اللَّهُ وَمَا شَافَعَ, Allah has decreed it. Accept it. Surrender yourself and accept what Allah has decreed for you. Indeed, it is based on wisdom. Because this leads a person, this expression leads a person to displeasure and impatience. But what is expected of the believer is that he should turn his affair over to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yani my affair is with Allah. And he should have hope in, he should give himself hope in the fact that what has happened, it is by Allah's qada and Allah's qadr. So that shaitan will not have a way over him in order to agitate him and instigate him and to upset him and to rock and shake his iman in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the qadr of Allah and the qada of Allah in this way. So that the believer, what is expected from the believer is to submit and recognize that whatever happens, it is by Allah's decree. The Shaykh has mentioned 10 fawaid or 10 points from this hadith, and Shaykh al-Uthaymeen has also mentioned 10 points. And many of them are different than these 10 points. For that reason, I have attempted to compile them. Yani the 10 points of Shaykh al-Qarawi, first from the original book that we are reading from, and some of the points of Shaykh Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen, rahimahullah. The first of the points from al-Jadid, the Sharh of Qarawi, hafidhahullah, is that الأخذ بالأسباب لا ينافي التوكل. يعني that taking precautions or attending to the means to achieve something, it is not a negation, it is not a contradiction to tawakkul. That a believer, التوكل, it means that he puts his trust in Allah and relies upon Allah and depends upon Allah and has faith in Allah while also taking the necessary measures to achieve what one desires or to protect oneself from what one may want to be protected from. Number two, that أن الإنسان مخير لا مسير, that the human being is مخير, he has a choice to do, he is not مسير, forced to do something. يعني the قدر of Allah doesn't mean that we are forced to do something. No, Allah has not forced us to do something, but he has given us a choice and we are therefore responsible for our actions, and this is the proper understanding of al-qadr al-qada in Islam. Number three, that al-ajiz, inability, feeling incapable, ينافي الاستعانة بالله, that this is a contradiction. It is a contradiction to one seeking help from Allah. Whenever you seek help from Allah, how can you feel incapable when Allah is the one who's helping you? It is a contradiction. Number four, the prohibition of الاستعانة بغير الله, that it is haram to seek help from other than Allah in that which only Allah is capable of doing. And it is not haram to seek help from someone in that which they are capable of doing, which the human being is capable of doing. But it is haram to seek help from other than Allah in that which only Allah has the power over. Number five, that al-Islam encourages that a person should work and produce, to be workers and to be productive, not to be lazy. Number six, the prohibition of opposing or rejecting the qadr of Allah and the qada of Allah. Number seven, that the good and the evil of khayr wa shar are both decreed from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number 8 and 9 mention two of the characteristics or the sifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the confirmation of al-mashi'ah, that Allah has the will, ala waj yaliku bi jalalihi, in the way that is suitable and appropriate to the majesty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That Allah has a will, his will is that will which is appropriate for his divine being. Number 9, ithbat al-fi'l lillahi ta'ala, yani confirmation that al-fi'l, action, it is one of the characteristics of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us to say, قَدَّرَ اللَّهُ وَمَا شَعَ فَعَلَى, that whatever Allah willed, he has done it. Number 10, al-iman bil-qadr, that believing in al-qadr, and this is very important, the believer should emphasize and concentrate on and reflect upon the iman in the divine decree, because it is a healing for the hearts. And it is also a rest and comfort and stability of the souls. Yani whoever understands what is qada wa qada and accepts it, it will be a healing for the sickness of the heart. And it will be a rest and a means of satisfaction and stability for one's soul when you know that whatever happens, it is by Allah's decree. It could not have been avoided. There's no way to escape from what Allah has decreed. Shaykh al-Uthaymeen also mentions here Ithbat al-Mahabba for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as another sifa, and that is from the beginning of the hadith that Shaykh Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab has now mentioned. That is, that the al-mu'min al-qawi khayrun wa ahabbu ila Allah. That the strong believer is better and more beloved to Allah. So also, from the sifat of Allah is al-Mahabba. And then he said, اختلاف الناس في قوة الإيمان, that there is a difference between the people and the strength or the weakness of their iman. And that is also based on the beginning of the hadith, al-mu'min al-qawi, wal-mu'min al-da'if, that the believers are not all equal in the strength or weakness of their iman. Number four, ziyadat al-iman wa nuqsanu, that iman increases and decreases. Because al-quwa, it means, yani strength of iman, it means that there is increase. And al-da'af, weakness, it means that there is decrease. And the Shaykh has made a lengthy discussion concerning this. However, yani it would take the rest of our time to explain it. It is an important issue, increase and decrease of iman. However, it is something that we have discussed on a number of occasions in other books. Number four, that the mu'min, the believer, even if his iman is weak, that still there is khair, there is goodness in him. Then the Shaykh said in point number 8 of his 10 points that that which the human being has no power to do, then he might use as a proof for him in what has happened, qadr. And the thing that he has no power over, he can use as an excuse, qadr. If he has no power over the matter, he can say Allah has decreed it. Naam. And this is based on the saying of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, وَلَكِنْ كُلْ قَدْرَ اللَّهُ وَمَا شَعْفَعَتْ. Yani if something happens that you have no control, then say Allah has decreed it. Accept it. However, as for that thing which the person has ability over, then he may not use as a proof qadr. He may not say that it was Allah's decree that I didn't help you. While he's able to help you, he cannot use that as an excuse, or nor in his sins that he has committed a sin and then say it is Allah's decree that I was meant to sin, don't blame me. Number 9, he said that shaitan has an effect on the human beings, and this is based on the saying of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, فَإِنَّ لَوْ تَفْتَهُ عَمَلَ الشَّيْطَانِ, that indeed, لَوْ, the use of this word if, it opens the works of shaitan. That means shaitan has an ability to affect the human being, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam also said in that which is reported in Bukhari and Muslim, that shaitan goes through the bloodstream of the human being like our blood goes through, yani it goes through the human being just like our blood flows through, or like and shaitan goes through the bloodstream of the human being, like our blood goes through our body. The Shaykh says here the relationship of this hadith to the chapter under discussion is that this hadith indicates the prohibition of resistance or opposition to what Allah has decreed, and its relationship to Tawheed is that it indicates the obligation to submit to and surrender to the Qadr of Allah, because that is part of the perfection of Tawheed. The masail that Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab has mentioned at the end of this chapter, which are not in the explanation, the jadeed. Quickly, these masail and the brief explanations of Shaykh Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen, as he has explained them, the first of them, and there are six, the first of them is the explanation of these two ayahs from Surah Ali Imran. Yani, those two ayahs are dealing with the saying of the hypocrites, that if you had listened to us, if you had remained behind, then you would not have been killed. Yani their opposition and rejection of what Allah has decreed, that if they had done such and so, they could have prevented the decree of Allah. The second issue is the prohibition. النَّحِي الصَّرِيحِ عَنْ قَوْلْ لَوْ. Yani that there is a clear prohibition from using the word if. لَوْ إِذَا أَصَابَكَ شَيْءٌ. Yani if something afflicts you, that you shouldn't say, if I had done this, then it would not have happened. The third issue is the explanation. تَعْلِيلَ الْمَسْأَلَةِ, yani that the reason for all of this, this whole discussion, is because using such an expression and thinking in this way, it opens the way for the works of a shaitan. That is, that he begins to whisper to the human being and cause them to have regret and remorse and grief that they don't have to experience if they would just surrender and accept that what has happened is Allah's decree. Then guidance to the al-kalam al-hasan, yani to good speech. What is the good speech that one should say instead of saying if such and such and so? And he said that, yani irshad or guidance from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is that if something afflicts someone, they should say qadr Allahu wa ma sha'a fa'ala, that Allah has decreed it, or it is the decree of Allah, and He does whatever He wills. The fifth issue is that we have been commanded to have hirs, to be eager and to go after and exert ourselves to achieve that which is beneficial, مع استعانة بالله, yani along with seeking help from Allah. Yani make the effort and also seek help from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the sixth point, it is the prohibition from the opposite of that. Yani al-ajiz, that a person should not feel incapable. We are prohibited from taking the attitude that we are incapable of doing something. Naam. The questions. The questions at the end of this chapter that we have mentioned, the first of them quickly, what was the sabab al-nuzul, the reason for the revelation of these verses? The sabab al-nuzul of these two verses in this chapter were the Battle of Uhud, when the hypocrites argued against the believers that if they had listened to us and remained behind, they would not have been killed. And if they would not have been killed in jihad, fi sabilillah. It is interesting that they should say such, while the true believers, and he would never make such an expression, the true believer would have said, Alhamdulillah that you have gone forth, and Allah has given you shahada fi sabilillah. But they said, it is sad and unfortunate. It would have been better if you remained behind, you would not have been killed. You would not have died as a shaheed fi sabilillah. The second question, why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blame those who said these words? He blamed them because such words express their claim that taking certain precautions or means, as they said in this case, remaining behind, would have prevented what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decreed, and whatever Allah wills, it has to be. And if it is His irada al-qawniyah, then whatever He wills will be, and whatever He does not will, it will never be. The third question, what is the hukum or legal ruling concerning the use of the word law, if only? The legal ruling concerning it is that it is prohibited to use it as an expression of rejection or resistance or opposition to what Allah has decreed. However, there is a long discussion about the use of law in reference to things of the future and that which is good or clarification of what is preferable, and in that case, it is allowed. Yani, there is a blameworthy use of law and there is a praiseworthy use of it. In this way, where it is an expression of rejection of what Allah has decreed, it is prohibited. However, there are certain usages for it, which we have mentioned in the introduction from Shaykh Abdulaziz ibn Baz, rahimahullah, which show that in some cases it is allowed. What is the reason for the prohibition of the use of the expression law? Before this question also, it is important to note here that even if a person uses law in reference to that which is in the future, and if they said, if such and such happens, then I will do so and so, if they are saying it as a means to say that if this happened, I would try to do good, or I would have done good, or I would like to have done good, then it is okay. However, if they use it in a manner that expresses their feeling of greatness and authority and power, such as those of the tyrants and the criminal disbelievers who say that if this will happen, I will do this, as though Allah's decree has nothing to do with it, that they have power over Allah's decree, then this is also rejected, yani, and it is not allowed. What is the reason for the prohibition of the use of the expression law? Yani, because it is prohibited because it shows that somebody has rejected what Allah has decreed. If it is in reference to that which has happened in the past and they are not satisfied with what Allah has decreed. Number five, it says, if a believer is a believer required to take precautions from danger, explain. Yani, the believer is required to take precautions from danger, and also to take the necessary measures to achieve that which they want of good. However, taking precautions from danger is no guarantee that you will not be afflicted, nor taking the necessary measures to achieve something, it is no guarantee that you will achieve it. But we still should take the measures and then seek help from Allah, and we should not feel incapable, and then whatever Allah has decreed, we accept it. Number six, what should one say at the time of calamity or misfortune? The Prophet ﷺ said, instead of saying if, you should say, Allah has decreed it, and He does, and whatever He wills, then He has done it. And also, in some of the hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said, when a calamity afflicts them, or news came to them of a calamity, they may say, إِنَّ لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّ إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ, that verily, it belongs to Allah. And to Him we will return. Yani, we belong to Allah, meaning that He has control and authority over us to do with us as He wills. Inna lillahi, that verily we belong to Allah. Whatever He does, He has the right and authority to do so, وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. And to him we will return, meaning that we accept and submit to what he has decreed for us, since he has the right to do what he wants with us, because we know we are going to return to him. And we are pleased with what he has decreed, hoping for his reward when we return to him in the next life. When is it allowed to seek help, al-isti'ana, from other than Allah? It is allowed to seek help from other than Allah in that which the human being has the ability to do. Mention some of the sifat or characteristics of Allah mentioned in this hadith. And in this hadith, it is mentioned from the sifat of Allah, al-mahabba, love, and also the mashiyah, the will of Allah, and al-fi'l, that Allah has as his one of his characteristics, action. Mention some of the fawaid or benefits from this chapter. Yani those fawaid are contained in these questions and in the text of the evidences. The next chapter, which is very brief, and inshallah I will try to take it in the remaining time. It is one hadith, and here Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab rahimahullah has mentioned this chapter, Babun and Nahyu an Sab ar-Rih, the prohibition from Sab, yani cursing or criticizing or mentioning the defect or speaking abusively against the wind, ar-Rih, yani if a strong wind, a severe wind, or a cold wind, or a hot wind afflicts someone with discomfort, he shouldn't abuse the wind, or speak ill of the wind, or curse the wind. Because the wind, it is only a creature of the creatures of Allah, doesn't have any power, it is controlled by Allah, it only moves when Allah orders it, and it does whatever Allah has ordered it to do. Therefore it is prohibited to curse the wind. Cursing the wind, in fact, results in cursing, or abusing the one who controls the wind and causes it to do what it does, and that is its Rabb, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the Shaykh al-Imam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab says, An Ubay ibn Ka'b, of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لا تسبوا الريح. Don't curse or abuse or use abusive language in one speech against the wind. فَإِذَا رَأَيْتُمْ مَا تَقْرَهُونَ. But if you see that which you dislike, مَا تَقْرَهُونَ, يعني in the wind, if you see something, if you are afflicted or you are affected by the heat of the wind or the coldness of the wind or the severity of the wind, فَإِذَا رَأَيْتُمْ مَا تَقْرَهُونَ, meaning in reference to the wind, if you see that which you dislike in the wind, فَقُولُوا. Then the Prophet ﷺ ordered us to say this. Don't curse the wind and say something evil against the wind, but say, Allahumma inna nas'aluka min khayri hadhihi ar-rih wa khayri ma fiha wa khayri ma umirat bihi. O Allah, we ask of you the khayr that is in this wind, the good that is in this wind, that the good of this wind, wa khayri ma fiha, and the good that is in this wind, وَخَيْرِ مَا أُمِرَتْ بِهِ, and the goodness of what it has been ordered with, what the wind has been commanded to bring, or to do, or to cause, of destruction or good. Yani that we seek the goodness of this wind, and the goodness that is in this wind, and the goodness of what it has been commanded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with. وَنَعُوذُ بِكَ مِنْ شَرِّ هَذِهِ الرِّيحِ. And we seek refuge in you, meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from the evil of this wind, if it contains some evil. وَشَرِّ مَا فِيهَا, and the evil that is in it. وَشَرِّ مَا أُمِرَتْ بِهِ, and the evil of what it has been commanded with. صَحَّحَهُ الترمذي. And Al-Imam al-Tirmidhi rahimahullah has declared this hadith to be sahih. And actually some of the scholars said concerning this hadith that it has some defect. It contains in the narrator and the isnad Habib ibn Abi Thabit, who is thiqa faqih jaleel. He is a reliable narrator, he is a scholar of fiqh, he is a noble scholar. However, كان كثير الإرسال والتدليس وقد عنعنا. He used to make irsal a lot, and also he used to practice at tadlis. And in this case, he used the expression an. And according to the rules of Mustalah Hadith, the narrator who is known for tadlis, meaning that he hides his shaykh or deletes him sometimes, if he narrates with the expression an, his hadith would not be accepted. However, this hadith has a number of shawahid or supporting narrations which strengthen it, and therefore Al-Imam Al-Tirmidhi has declared it to be in the Sunan. He said Hasan Sahih, yani is a good and acceptable hadith. And Shaykh Al-Albani rahimahullah in Sahih Al-Jami Al-Saghir, he has also declared it to be Sahih. The Shaykh Al-Qara'awi hafidhahullah, he says concerning the meaning of this hadith, that since Islam has ordered the people with makarim al-akhlaq, with good, noble character, and has prohibited them from the opposite, from nonsense, and acting ignorant. For this reason, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has prohibited abusive speech against the wind or cursing it. And that is because the wind, it is makhluqa, is only a creation of the creatures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It does not remain still, nor does it move, nor does it benefit or harm, except by the command of Allah Azza wa Jalla. Therefore, cursing or abusing the wind is abusing the one who controls it. That is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is part of His Tawheed al-Rububiyyah, that He is the Khaliq, the Creator, He is the Malik, the one who owns and possesses. That He is the Mudabbir, the one who controls the affairs of everything in this universe. Therefore, whoever curses that which happens in the universe, especially from the creatures that have no will and no power of their own, then they are cursing the one who controls them, the Mudabbir, the Rabb. And this is a violation of Tawheed al-Rububiyyah. Then the Shaykh says, then the Prophet ﷺ informed us that this wind, it might carry or bring some good or some evil. Therefore, it is upon the Muslim to ask or to seek and request from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the good of the wind and to seek refuge from the evil of the wind. It might carry some good or it might carry some evil. Therefore, we ask Allah for its good and seek refuge from its evil. Then the Shaykh says 3 points from this hadith. The first of them is the prohibition, tahrim, of cursing the wind. The second of them is istihbab, the commendability of using the supplication that is mentioned in this hadith. That the Prophet ﷺ has mentioned in this hadith, if someone sees or experiences or is affected by something harmful to them from the wind, that they should supplicate with this supplication. Oh Allah, we ask of you the good of this wind and the good that is in this wind and the good that it has been ordered with, and we seek refuge in you from the evil of this wind or the evil that is in it and the evil that it has been commanded with. And number three, he said, the legislation of making dua, that dua is legislated in Islam, wa ithbat nafa'ihi, and the confirmation that supplication in fact benefits. The relationship of this hadith to the chapter under discussion is that this hadith indicates the prohibition of cursing the wind, or abusing the wind, using abusive language. And number two, the relationship of this hadith to the general topic of a tawheed is that in this hadith we have a prohibition from abusing the wind, because abusing it is abusing the mudabbir, the one who controls it, and that is a negation or a nullification of a tawheed. The masail at the end of the chapter, Shaykh Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab has mentioned, and there's a brief explanation from Shaykh Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen. The first issue is the prohibition of cursing the wind. And the Shaykh Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen rahimahullah says that this prohibition is for tahreem. It is absolutely prohibited. It is not makruh, means it is haram. Because cursing the wind is cursing the one who created the wind and who sent it. That is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is haram. The second issue is al-irshad ila al-kalam al-nafi. Al-irshad, guiding to that speech which is beneficial. If someone sees that which they dislike. Yani the Prophet ﷺ, he told us what is beneficial to say, instead of cursing and abusing, but we should say that which is beneficial. Yani we should supplicate to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect us from the evil or the harm of that thing and seek the good of it. And also we should take the necessary means to protect ourselves from it by going indoors or getting behind something or whatever one has to do in order to be protected from the harm of that thing that you see some harm in. Number three, the guidance to the fact that the wind is ma'amura, that it is under the command. It is under the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It doesn't have any will of its own. And this is proven by the saying of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ma umirat bihi, what it has been commanded with. Yani, it is a creature that has been commanded. It doesn't have any power of its own. Number four, that the wind, in some cases perhaps, it will be ordered with khair, And in some cases, it will be ordered with shar. And sometimes the wind has been ordered by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bring about some good. And it might be ordered to bring about some harm. And this is understood from the saying of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, seeking refuge or asking Allah for the khayri ma umirat bihi, and seeking refuge from the shar ma umirat bihi. Yani, seeking the good of what it has been commanded with, and seeking refuge from the evil of what it has been commanded with. And then the Shaykh closes this point by saying, the summary of the matter is that a person, it is obligatory on the human being that they do not oppose or resist the qadr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or his qadha, his execution of what he has decreed, by cursing the wind or that which they see something harmful in, but that the person should submit themselves li amrihi al-qawni, to Allah's command, his universal command, yani what he has ordered to happen in the universe. He must submit himself to what Allah has decreed in the universe, just as it is obligatory on him to submit himself li amrihi al-shara'i. Just as the believer knows he has to submit to Allah's legal commands. Yani in the Quran, Allah ordered us to pray and he ordered us to fast and we have to obey it. Likewise, Allah is the one who ordered whatever happens in the creation to happen, and we also have to submit to it and accept it in the same way. Because these things are only creatures. They don't have any ability to do anything. It is only by the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The questions at the end of this chapter, what is the hukm shar'i, or the legal ruling concerning sab, or abusive speech towards the wind? Yani, that it is prohibited. It is haram. It's not allowed that one may use abusive speech against the wind. Or, as in an earlier chapter, Shaykh Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab mentioned, cursing the time, al-dahr, because it is not allowed to do so. If we mean time itself passing, then whatever happens in that time, whether it is harmful or calamity or affliction, whatever has happened, it is by Allah's decree. Cursing Allah's creatures or what Allah has ordered to happen in the universe, it is forbidden. What is the illah or reason or cause for this ruling concerning cursing or abusing the wind? The reason for the prohibition of cursing or abusing the wind is because the wind doesn't have any power of its own. It is ma'amura. It is muqaddara. It is commanded. It is under the decree of Allah. It only does what Allah has ordered it to do. Therefore, whoever is displeased with what it does, they are displeased with what Allah has decreed. And what Allah has ordered to do, that is displeasure with Allah. Cursing it means cursing Allah. Sab or abusing the wind is a violation of which type of tawheed? It is a violation of tawheed ar-rububiyyah. Because whatever happens from the winds or the other any forces of nature is what Allah has decreed. And this comes under his rububiyyah, that he is the creator, that he is the owner, and he is the one who controls the affairs of this universe. What is the dua or supplication legislated here, or its general meaning? The dua is Allahumma inna nas'aluka min khayri hadihi ar-rih wa min khayri ma fiha wa min khayri ma umirat bi, that we seek refuge in the, or we ask Allah for the good of what is in this wind, the good of this wind and the good that is in it, and the good that it has been ordered with. And likewise, wa na'udhu bika من شر هذه الريح وشر ما فيها وشر ما أمرت به. And we seek refuge in you, O Allah, from the evil of this wind and the evil that it is in it and the evil that it has been ordered with. And this hadith or this supplication makes us to know that one should ask for good in everything that Allah has created from him, and that we should seek refuge from evil, the evil that is in anything that Allah has created. We should seek refuge in him, because he is the one who controls those things, and he is the one that orders it with good or with evil. And therefore, seeking the good should be from Allah, and seeking refuge in the evil should be from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Also concerning this chapter, since there is time, and before we take any questions, there is some benefit. Sheikh Abdul Aziz ibn Abdullah ibn Baz, rahimahullah, in his ta'liqat, or his comments, brief comments concerning Kitab al-Tawheed, he also said concerning this second chapter, that since cursing the wind and other of the creatures of Allah, it is a defect in one's iman and a fault in one's tawheed. Cursing the creatures, it is a defect in one's iman and a fault in their tawheed. For this reason, the author, meaning Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, has brought this matter to our attention so that the believer will know that the rest of sinful actions also, the other sinful actions are also a defect in at-tawheed and a defect in one's iman, and it weakens one's iman. And then he said, and al-iman increases and decreases, and likewise at-tawheed increases and decreases, and cursing the wind, it decreases one's iman, because the wind is a creature controlled by the one who has sent it with good or with evil. So don't curse the wind, but the believer should act in accordance with what the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has ordered us within this hadith, that is, seek the good of that wind from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and seek refuge from the evil of that wind from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If there are any questions or any comments or corrections in the time remaining, perhaps we can take 10 minutes or so, take some questions or clarification on what has been discussed. Naam, tafadhal. Allahu a'lam, but some of the scholars have explained it as though the meaning is the same. Yani they have, in their explanations, they have explained it as the goodness of the wind and the good in the wind as one thing, and the goodness that it has been ordered with as another. So they have, many of the scholars have explained it in this way as though they are the same. However, there is no doubt that the speech of the Prophet ﷺ, there has to be some benefit in expressing even that which is similar in a different way. And perhaps, yani the meaning, it may be that the goodness of the wind is the goodness in the nature of the wind itself. And the goodness that is in the wind is the goodness that the wind carries, yani what it may carry from outside of it. Yani the wind, when it passes through the land, it picks up things. It might pick up disease or that which is harmful to the human being. That is different from the wind itself, its effect on the creatures. So it is perhaps, yani, in this way that there is a distinction. As Shaykh Muhammad ibn Salih Uthaymeen has discussed this matter in detail. However, it's a lengthy discussion, not possible to cover. However, he has hinted at this type of meaning, that the wind itself has an effect, and that which the wind carries from that which is not part of it in its traveling through the earth also has an effect that could be good or could be bad, and then what it has been commanded with by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also may be good and bad. Allah knows best. Any other question? Any questions from the sisters? Naam, Umar. Jazakallah khair. If you say, if I think it would have been better if I had done that, if you mean by that, that after what has happened, you realize now that you have done an action which was incorrect or improper, if you realize that now, and you mean, I think, you mean that I have realized now that if I had done something else, it was a better action to do. Yani, for example, if you had disobeyed your mother when she told you not to do such and such and so and so, and then as a result of that you got a nice punishment, Omar, then after that you said, I realize now that if I had obeyed her, it would have been better. It means that you understood now what was better to do. Not that you are rejecting Allah's decree. That is okay. That is okay. It is okay to realize what is better. But you should make clear, yani, and it should be clear to you, that you don't mean to reject what Allah has decreed, but you only mean that I have learned a lesson from this. I have learned my lesson, and now I will not do this again. Inshallah. Of the benefits from which place? The last hadith from the first bab. Now, it says of the under the benefits, what number? Number one. Now, yeah, it is a mistake also. Unfortunately, there are really a lot of mistakes in the translation. I don't have the time to point all of them out. But actually, the Shaykh has said here, الأخذ بالأسباب لا ينافي التوقل. And he has translated that it doesn't negate Tawheed. And there are a number of other mistakes, unfortunately. But in any case, and overall, it is of benefit. However, it requires some review, and that's why whenever I can, I try to mention some points where there is a difference. And I have on many occasions read the Arabic expressions on some places. Many of the times why I read the Arabic expression is because in the translation there is a different meaning, just so that the Arabic expression will be there and you can compare it. However, it's just too difficult to point out all of the errors. In fact, the correct statement of what the Shaykh has said is tawakkul. And Allah knows best. Unless, and Allah only knows, unless the translator has used a different edition of this book, an earlier edition or a later edition, and the Shaykh has changed his wording, Allahu A'lam, I don't know about that. But that is also possible. That is also possible. From the sisters, can we say about the future? If you do such and such, then such and such will happen, inshallah. What is the proper way to express that something bad could happen? I fear that saying inshallah may show the desire for this to happen. No, I mean inshallah doesn't mean you have a desire for something to happen. However, in speaking about the future, it is proper for a Muslim to say what they expect to happen, what is likely to happen, to say this may happen. If you do such and such and so on, so this may happen. And there's no harm in saying inshallah. It means that you are acknowledging that it may happen if Allah decrees it. If Allah decrees it. So if somebody says that if you keep going with those bad people, then you're going to get in trouble. That is what is likely to happen. There's no harm in saying inshallah. Not that you desire that to happen, but you are acknowledging that this is what is likely to happen, but it's not guaranteed. All of it is with the will of Allah. In general, in speaking about the future, we should say, inshallah. Since there's still a few moments remaining and there are no more questions, yani Shaykh Abdurrahman al-Sa'di, rahimahullah, the Shaykh of Shaykh Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen, he has also given some discussion concerning the chapter of Law, Bab Maja'a fil Law. And it is a lengthy discussion, and what he has said in summary here is that the use of this expression, if, he said it is of two types, madhmum, blameworthy, and mahmud, praiseworthy. So that the use of this expression in some cases, and that is what is intended by Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, it is blameworthy, madhmum. But in some cases it is mahmud, praiseworthy, and it is allowed and it is praiseworthy. As for the madhmum, he said, it is when something that you don't like happens, and you said, if I had done such and such and so, then this would have happened. Then this is from shaitan, and this is the blameworthy use of it. And he says, for two reasons. Number one, because it opens the door, or the way, for a person to feel regret, and dissatisfaction, and grief, and sorrow. And this door should be closed. It should not be opened by saying lao. It should be closed. Because there's no benefit in saying so. If I had done this, if there's no benefit. It has already happened. It will not be turned back. The second reason why it is blameworthy is because it is su adab ala Allah. Yani that the person who does so, it is a means, it is bad, evil adab with Allah. It is not proper behavior that a person has with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when they say such a thing. And it is also, because of the rejection of the Qadr of Allah. Indeed, all of the affairs, whatever happens, the minor thing as well as the major thing, it is all by the Qadr of Allah and His decree and His execution. And it had to happen if Allah has decreed it. There is no way that it can be rejected. So whoever says, if I had done such and so, or if I had done this, then this would have happened. It is a type of i'tirad, or rejection, or resistance, and it is also a type of weakness of iman in one's belief in the Qadr of Allah and His qadha. And a person's tawheed would not be completed until they avoid these two things. Then he says, as for the praiseworthy use of law, it is like a person having hope for something good to happen. Tamanni lil khair. That a person has hope that something good will happen. Like the saying of the Prophet ﷺ, لَوْ اسْتَقْبَلْتُ مِنْ أَمْرِي مَا اسْتَدْبَرْتُ مَا سُقْتُ الْهَدِيِّ. Yani, if I was to meet in the future this same matter which has passed me by, then I wouldn't have brought my hadji, sacrificial animal, and I would have entered ihram for umrah, as he ordered his companions to do, reported by Bukhari Muslim. And likewise, the saying of a person who hopes for some good, if he said, if I had the likeness of wealth like so and so, then I would have done with it like what he has done. And if I had wealth like this rich man and he is spending it in the way of Allah, if I had wealth like that, then I would also have spent it in the way of Allah. This is tamanni al-khayr, tamanni lil-khayr. And hoping for good, it is permissible to say so. And like the saying of the Prophet ﷺ reported by al-Bukhari and Muslim, لَوْ صَبَرَ أَخِي مُوسَى عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامِ لَقَصَّ اللَّهُ عَلَيْنَا مِن نَبَئِهِمَا. Yani, لَوْ صَبَرَ أَخِي مُوسَى, that if Musa, my brother Musa عليه السلام, the Prophet Musa, if he had been patient with Khidr, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would have narrated to us more of their affair. Yani, we would have come to know more. If Musa had been عليه السلام patient, yani the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used lao here, and there's no harm, because here he it is tamanni lil khair. Yani, I wish that he would have been more patient, so we would have got more good from Allah reporting to us the story of Musa alayhi salam and al-Khidr. Then he says, just as the use of lao, when one hopes for good, it is praiseworthy, the use of it, hoping for evil, is blameworthy. If somebody says lao, hoping, wishing that they could have done something or gotten something which is evil, then it is blameworthy. Therefore, he said, the use of this word lao, if it is according to the condition of what caused someone to use it. Yani, according to what has caused you to say that. That's how we will judge whether or not it is permissible or not, or blameworthy or praiseworthy. If that which caused somebody to say lao is because of their grief and sorrow and weakness of iman and qadr and qadha, or because of their hope for something evil to happen to somebody or to achieve something evil, then the use of lao in this way is blameworthy, madhmuma. But if what caused the person to use lao is al-ragba fil khair wal-irshad wa-ta'aleem, yani if it was because of the person's desire for some good, or for guiding the people or directing them or teaching them, in that case it is mahmoodan, praiseworthy. For this reason, the author, Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, he has used in the introduction to this chapter the tarjama muhtamila lil amrain. Yani, he has used a translation that has two possibilities. He said, babun ma ja'a fi al-law. What has been reported concerning al-law? Yani, what is this ruling? That means it has the possibility of both sides. That is ruling, it may be that it is permissible, and it's ruling, it may be that it is forbidden. Because it depends on how it is used. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم.